Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our podcasts at BillMick.com. Our focus this week, impaired driving. Increasing awareness, promoting safety and prevention. Mothers Against Drunk Driving's been part of this effort since 1980. Joining us today on the Florida Roundtable, Aaron Sendrick, the Central Florida Program Manager for MAD, and Lauren Robinson, a family advocate for MAD, who lost her sister Chloe to an impaired driver in 2020. Part of this discussion is that you or your loved one can make every right decision and still be a victim of an impaired driver. In my law enforcement days, I saw impaired drivers from minimal impairment to completely wasted, although we're impaired. That's our focus today on the Florida Roundtable here on the Florida News Network. We continue in moments.
My hospital stay would have cost $25,000, but with VA healthcare, it's free.
My education would have cost $42,000, but with VA benefits, my books, tuition, and housing are all covered.
The down payment for my home would have been $74,000, but with my VA home loan, my down payment was zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Up to 44% of veterans say re-entry into civilian life was difficult. 20% say they experienced depression, and 6,000 vets complete suicide every year. You're not alone. At the Florida Veterans Support Line, over 300 veterans like you call every week for resources, referrals, and support. Connect with one of our veteran peers who has walked in your shoes and can help you take the next step. You're not alone. Call 1-844-MY-FL. Vet or visit myflvet.com.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Ticks can transmit Lyme disease and other dangerous illnesses. Protect yourself and your family with Summit Green Armor Insect Repellent. Clothing and outdoor gear treated with Green Armor Insect Repellent repels and kills ticks, chiggers, mites, and mosquitoes for up to 6 weeks. The handy spray bottle makes it easy to apply this odorless layer of protection. Green Armor Insect Repellent is available at garden centers, hardware stores, and at SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Nice to have you this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Appreciate you joining us here on the Florida News Network. I am Bill Mick. Along with me today, Aaron Sendrick, who is the Central Florida MAD Program Director. That's what they call me at the radio station. I'm the MAD Program Director. Anyway, Lauren Robertson is with us, and she's a family advocate for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. So, opportunity to talk to these ladies, talk prevention, awareness, and public education here is the goal. Ladies, thank you for joining me. Aaron, let's start with you. You're the Central Florida Program Director for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. What brought you into this world?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, thanks for having us on today. I am always appreciative of a platform to share MAD's mission, so I'm really grateful to be here with you and Lauren. Yes, my name is Aaron Sendrick. I'm the Program Manager for MAD Central Florida. We cover 10 counties here in Central Florida, and I've been with the organization for about a year and a half. I've always sort of been in the nonprofit world and prevention world. And prior to this was really working in a space that wasn't necessarily focused on any one area of prevention. So since coming to MAD, obviously, we are very focused with our prevention work and our mission. So it's been a nice change of pace, and it's a great place to work. I love interacting with the families and the people in the community. So doing good things. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you being here. Lauren Robertson, your story is quite a bit different and a tragic one at that. What brings you to this conversation this morning?
What brings me to this conversation, Bill, is I lost my little sister in January of 2020, specifically January 25th of 2020. And I just want to thank you for having the conversation and bringing light to this issue, one that is 100% preventable.
Well, and I appreciate you being here. That can't be a fun story to relive and share over and over. As I told you in our discussions via email, I was in law enforcement in my real career before I got into radio. I've dealt with DUIs and drunk and drug driving through a significant portion of that career. And I've seen them from the very bad to the very minimally impaired. But the point you guys make is they're all impaired. And this is preventable, and we can get away from it. Lauren, let's stay with you for a moment and talk that angle of this.
Yeah. So my sister, Chloe, I mean, she was more than just a statistic. She was my sister. She was the baby of the family. She was my built-in best friend, my biggest cheerleader. She was the person who would text me at midnight and send me a ridiculous meme just to make me laugh. She was the one who turned up the music in the car and would sing like she was on stage. She was the heartbeat of my family, and unfortunately, through no fault of her own, that heartbeat is now silent. Sorry.
It's tough to talk about, and I appreciate that you're willing to do it, because that's meaningful to folks who are hearing this.
And, I mean, she was beautiful inside and out. She had an energy about her that was just truly infectious. This larger-than-life personality. She was described by many of her friends as being the life of the party. She lit up seriously every room that she entered and every situation that she encountered. And if you knew her, you loved her. And if you met her, you never forgot her. She was 21 years old when she was killed by this drunk driver. She was a senior at West Virginia University, set to graduate in May of 2020. She had dreams, she had a future, and she had a lifetime ahead of her. But unfortunately, her life force, her love, and her energy were stolen in an instant and was involuntarily sacrificed to a drunk driver's self-centered and self-indulgent appetite for getting high and for alcohol. So at the time of the crash, the person that killed my sister was not only intoxicated twice the legal limit, but also high on marijuana. And to put that into perspective, when I learned of this information, in Philadelphia, marijuana is not legal. But being the lawyer that I am, I looked up states in which marijuana is legal and what is considered impaired driving in those states. And the number at which the drunk driver was impaired by was triple the legal limit of such in Colorado.
And it is a combination type situation. When we come back, let's talk about your role in preventing this down the road. And we'll get into a little bit of the history of MAD as well. Mothers Against Drunk Driving with us today on the Florida Roundtable. And we're back in moments on the Florida News Network.
Want to hear something about life jackets? Try inflatable life jackets. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. For more information, go to myfwc.com. A message from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Now you can get generic Viagra shipped to your door for about $2 a pill. Get the same impact for less. Call Steel Man Pills now and get the same blue pill for about $2 a pill. Call now for the 50-pill special and save even more. Plus, get a free bonus.
800-621-4764. 800-621-4764. That's 800-621-4764.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed. High. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, Aaron Sendrick with the Central Florida Mothers Against Drunk Driving, their program director there, Lauren Robertson, a family advocate for MAD, and as you heard, tragic stories for families when this situation occurs. I want to get back into that and what the family's role has become since that occurred. But before we do that, Aaron, let's go back to you for just a second. MAD got started around 1980 when a young lady named Carrie Leitner was killed. Her mom, Candace, jumped in and saw activism as a way to honor her daughter and to change things in this, what was a lax world when it came to this particular offense. Give us your take on the background here of Mothers Against Drunk Driving and what they've been able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have been around since 1980, coming up on our 45th anniversary, which is really incredible. What we've been able to achieve as an organization in that time, we've been behind the implementation of the 21 legal age. We've been behind the increase to 0.08 with the drinking law. Matt has been absolutely integral to a lot of these changes that we've seen in our society over the last 45 years. And while it's exciting that we're coming up on our 45th year of work and of service, we know that unfortunately, that means there's still work to be done. We've seen an increase in rates of impaired driving and DUI crashes in the last couple of years since 2020. And so we are working with, you know, renewed focus to continue the good work that we started those 45 years ago in 1980 with Candace and her daughter, Carrie. So in addition to, of course, being a space that honors people's lives and memories and celebrates the work we've been able to accomplish, we also have that educational component that you've been speaking to. And I think just as an individual, not even necessarily as an employee of MAD, something that I really appreciate about the organization is how much emphasis they put on, yes, us, all of us as individuals, have the opportunity to create change and to create impact, but also letting people know that this is a community-wide issue, that it's something that we all need to have a shared understanding of and a shared understanding that we can all, coming together, create really meaningful and impactful change that mean no more impaired driving deaths. So that's our goal.
How broad is the reach that MAD has? I'm sure it's across the country, but in what forms does it take? I know there's activism. I know there's courtroom involvement, but as far as getting the message out, what are you able to do? Are you combining with folks for PSA type ads, or how do you get this message out? What's your primary focus as you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like I could talk for longer probably than we have about that, but I'll sort of give you a snapshot of how it works, at least here in Central Florida with our team, and you can kind of extrapolate that. You're right, we are a nationwide organization. We have offices in Puerto Rico, which are part of our MAD regional office, or our MAD Florida regional office, all the way to Hawaii and Alaska. So we definitely have a presence in every state across the United States of America. Here in Central Florida, we have a team of four to cover those 10 counties that I mentioned. Myself as a program manager, I really focus on our internal events and the development that goes along with those. We also have a victim services specialist. Her main focus is working with families like Lauren's and all of the other families that we serve here in Central Florida. And that can look like a lot of different things, from emotional support to attending court with those families to helping them fill out the victim compensation forms. Whatever really they may need, she's able to provide them with that support. Or if it's something that MAD doesn't provide, you know, we always can connect people with resources we have in the community. If they're looking for, you know, doctors, we can help them through what that process kind of looks like, or lawyers, or whatever they may need, right? Sometimes it's things like childcare. You know, they've lost their childcare provider, or you just never know, right, what families may be going through and what the person they've lost was, I don't want to say providing in their life, because it's a human life and it's so much more than that. But just as much wraparound service as they can provide, our victim services specialists offer that to the families that we work with. We also have a program specialist, and her main focus is that underage drinking prevention education. So, of course, going out into schools, talking with young people, but also talking with college age students, talking with elementary age students. We have programming for as young as fourth grade, which sometimes really surprises people. But when I'm talking with parents or teachers who might have the idea, oh, that's too young. I let them know, you know, it's never too young. Kids are exposed to this in the society that we live in every day. They see it on TV, they see it on the community. And really the conversation that we're wanting people to have doesn't necessarily have to focus on substance, right? Doesn't have to focus on alcohol, doesn't have to focus on other drugs, but just that they can make a good choice. They can be a positive influence. They can help others make good choices. And just starting that conversation early, because the research shows the more you have those conversations, the more frequently they occur, the better the outcomes for those young people and the adults in their life. So those are the three kind of branches of work that we have going on here in Central Florida: internal events, victim support, and then underage drinking prevention. And of course, we have our area executive director that makes sure everything is working together cohesively. But those are our three sort of main areas at the local level that we're really working on every day. At a national level, we also have a government affairs office working on advocacy behind things like the things I mentioned earlier, changing the drinking age, changing the legal limit. And currently they're working on the HALT Act, which is something that I don't know if you want to get into that at all, but really important pieces of legislation that are really shaping the future for not just MAD, but also our country. So hopefully that answers. I'm happy to get into any more of it.
Sure. We've got plenty of time. We'll dig into some of these things. Thank you, Erin. Appreciate it. Lauren, you came to this through very tragic circumstances, and you just, it's something you don't get over, but you've turned it into activism. Number one, did you take advantage of any MADS family services as you got engaged with them? And number two, what do you see your role as that family member who's been impacted, and what do you do with MAD to carry the message and to change things down the road?
Yeah, so I mean, I did take advantage of some of MAD's services. One, with respect to my victim impact statement, MAD's designated person at the time helped me formulate and reviewed my victim impact statement before I delivered that in court, and was very supportive in that regard. Additionally, I think something important to note is that MAD's not just there the day after the crash occurs. MAD continues to be there for victims' families years after the fact. For example, back in December, Melody, who also works at MAD alongside Erin, hosted a cookie decorating party. And it's a really beautiful opportunity to bring families together who've experienced the same type of grief and who are able to connect with others who understand what it's like to lose a child. Since my sister's passing and how I've gotten involved is just using my voice. Unfortunately, Chloe no longer has a voice, and because of no fault of her own. And I think the horrifying and brutal truth about my sister's legacy is that she did everything right that night of the crash. She went out, she had some drinks, she had fun with her friends, and when it was time to come home, she made the responsible choice. She called an Uber. She was just trying to get back home, back to her family, when another man named Erin J. Sims did not make that same choice. He chose to drink Hennessy, Long Island iced tea, tequila, shot after shot after shot after shot. He got into a fight at the bar. He smoked marijuana. And then when he was kicked out of the bar, he made the choice to drive drunk. And despite Chloe making the right choice, she never made it home because somebody else didn't make the right choice. So it's not simply about just teaching your children or loved ones to make the right choice. It's about speaking up and intervening when you see somebody else making the wrong choice.
That's a bit of a shocking realization for folks, is that you can do everything right. You can go out, you can be responsible in how you drink, responsible in how you don't choose to drive while you're impaired, and still be a victim of somebody else who doesn't make the good decisions. I've seen changes through my law enforcement career before I ever got into radio, that DUI laws did become stronger. Enforcement became more important and more emphasized, especially during holidays and those periods where drinking is expected, those American holidays like Cinco de Mayo and St. Patrick's Day, where drinking is the focus and safety gets thrown out the window, it seems. There have been programs come in where even if you drive somewhere, you get yourself intoxicated, You don't have to drive home, and tow trucks will come and take your car and take you home with it. And people seem to ignore that. That's got to be frustrating for you gals as you get this message out. There are ways not to have this happen at all.
It is extremely frustrating because it's, you know, a conscious disregard to Chloe's life and those who loved her. I carry the weight of her absence with me every day. No sentence that was given to the drunk driver is ever going to fill the void that's left in our lives. We as her family constantly have to wake up to the empty dinner table chair, whether that's at Sunday dinners or at Christmas, the uncelebrated birthdays, her future that was completely erased. When she passed away, or was killed, I should say, I was supposed to be getting married. I was in my last semester of law school, studying for the bar exam, ready to become an attorney. And in those moments where she was my maid of honor, she never got to stand by my side. Instead, she was standing above. And this is, again, like just 100% preventable.
There is no doubt. Aaron, as MAD gets involved, who are you able to collaborate with in getting this message out? Do you have certain partners that are stronger for you than others, maybe?
We have so many partners in the community that really I have endless gratitude for, because we would not, I mean, I'm sure anyone in the nonprofit space knows those community partnerships are really what make your work possible. Our law enforcement partners are extremely important to us. They are involved in everything we do, whether it's showing up and supporting us at events through sponsorship and attendance, or coming out to other events that we're part of, us being involved with things that they're working on. I can't highlight the importance of our law enforcement partners enough. We have
Has this DUI awareness or this driving impaired awareness become part of like DARE programs? Do they have those from law enforcement going into schools as well? You guys contribute to that?
So we don't see as many DARE programs and things like that these days. I think they've kind of shifted. I'm sure that the essence of them exists in other types of programs. I know there have been some SAD groups in high school, Students Against Drunk Driving, and we're always more than happy to support. You know, sometimes we'll have students or the teachers who are the advisor for SGA or whatever leadership group the students might be a part of that are interested in starting that, reach out to us and ask for some support. So we are always more than happy to provide that.
Very good. We continue. Impaired driving awareness this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. We're back in moments.
Fresh Florida bell peppers. These culinary chameleons make every meal just as dazzling as they are delicious. Vivid and vibrant and downright delectable, boasting a playful palette of colors, Florida bell peppers paint any dish a flavorful masterpiece. From picturesque pastas to spicy salsas, fresh stacked salads to sizzling fajitas, Florida bell peppers are a feast for all the senses. To see what Florida bell peppers can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-410-6385. 800-410-6385. 800-410-6385. That's 800-410-6385.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Cronk witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Bill Mick back with you on the Florida Roundtable as we talk with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Aaron Sendrick and Lauren Robertson with us. Aaron, an employee of MAD, Lauren, a family advocate who got there by a tragic situation in her own family that we told you about earlier. Ladies, I want to jump into how MAD has been able to be effective, either lobbying legislators or even local governments, police departments, sheriff's offices, those types of things, in affecting policy and legislation. And it has gotten stricter. When I was on the job in law enforcement, the legal limit for DUI was 0.10. That's down to 0.08. And I don't know, is there a movement to take it even lower than that? Let's start with you, Aaron.
Sure. There is a movement to take it down to 0.05, and there is a ton of research that shows that this would be a significant impact on number of lives saved each year. There is tons of information out there on it. It's not something in terms of advocacy that I'm working with necessarily on an everyday basis, but like I said, we have an incredible government affairs team at our national office that is working every day on policy like this and with other groups that are working to advance these types of initiatives. So that's an example there. And there are plenty of other, but I'll let you kind of guide the convo, Bill.
Well, as you look at this reduction to 0.08 and maybe moving further even down that scale, that seems to occur nationally, but it doesn't happen all at once. So you've got various offices across the country working with the various state legislatures. They set these laws, and that lobbying job can take some time, also takes some money. And how does MAD survive there? Where do their funds come from for doing the lobbying work and that type of thing?
Absolutely. So like I mentioned, we have a small team here in Central Florida that carries really throughout our organization. The government affairs team is also a small but mighty team and really rely a lot on the partnerships that we've formed in the community with others working alongside in our collective mission to end impaired driving. And so it's really just a focus on how we can work alongside other people in the fight and understanding that kind of being able to pool our resources, whether those resources are funds or people or time or whatever it might look like, to have the best impact that we possibly can.
Have you had any opportunity to be a resource for the DUI offender? Is there any education that you guys do on that front or any rehabilitation help at all?
Yeah, great question. Thank you. So we do have a victim impact panel course that we offer to offenders who have received going through that education as part of what they need to accomplish. So we do have, it's totally online. It's on demand, easy to access. And I have received some good feedback from, you know, not everybody gets back to you. Not everybody's happy to sit through the class. And also the people who recognize that the choice that they made was 100% their choice, and that there was an opportunity for them to make a different choice that had a different outcome. And I'm just speaking about people who may have received a DUI. They may not have been involved in a crash or something like that. But for those people who have reflected and see, you know, the error in their ways, I've gotten a lot of great feedback on the class. So that's always positive to hear.
Have any of them become MAD advocates and come to work for you guys or work with you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's sort of the, you know, farther down the line, people who want to get involved, whether they have hours that they need to fulfill, volunteer hours, or they want to share their story and their experience with other people who may be in a similar boat or may be at risk of, you know, experiencing something like that, getting a DUI. And so it is a process. Obviously, at the end of the day, we are here to serve victims and people who have been impacted by DUI crashes. And we recognize that that doesn't exist in a bubble, right? To Lauren's point, we're having these conversations about making good choices, and it has to be larger than that. So if we see that there's an individual who, you know, understands the impact, understand that the choice they made was not the right one, and really does have the perspective of being in alignment with our organization, our mission, our values, we absolutely find ways to get those folks involved and have here in Central Florida in the past and continue in the present as well.
Very good. Lauren Robertson is a family advocate for what MAD does. What's your role when it comes to policy decisions at police departments, working on legislation? You're an attorney. You know how this works. So what do you see your role and how do you advance the cause there?
Twofold. One, reminding police officers that it's just not in their enforcement efforts of drunk driving laws, that it's not just about catching the drunk driver. It's about saving the life of another who didn't make that same choice. Chloe never got to finish her life, and I take great responsibility in making sure that no one else has to be a victim of that same crime.
Are you seeing what you would term success as you work with Mothers Against Drunk Driving toward that end? I'm sure Chloe is very proud of you for what you're doing in taking her memory and advancing this cause. Tell me about successes you've seen.
Success in this space is, I don't really know how you really define success at the moment when there is still victims to drunk driving. I think MAD and my collaboration with MAD and being able to speak on this topic and share Chloe's story, especially because it is so profound, because she did make the right choice that night and had engaged in the same choice that the drunk driver did. She had had alcohol. She was impaired, but she did not get behind the wheel of a car, and she made the conscious choice to call an Uber and do the responsible thing, mm-hmm. which he didn't. I think it's too early to tell what success is. I think sharing her story is part one, and the effects of us sharing her story will be seen in years to come.
Okay, very good. Prevention.
Can I?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say a little bit of, in terms of success, I think I totally agree with Lauren. It's hard to see when you have this long-term vision and this long-term goal. But some small, I love to look for the small wins, the small joys, right? And I think something as simple as having individuals like Lauren, having families like her who have the interest and the capacity to not only work with MAD and our victim services specialist in terms of, you know, what we can offer to them, but then turning around and saying, what can we offer to you? And working for the organization, I stand up and talk in front of people all the time, right? I talk about what we do. I talk about the families that we serve. I might share, bits and pieces of their story. But just the shift you see in how people are paying attention, how people are receiving the information when someone like Lauren or another victim family that we work with stands up in front of the room and says almost exactly what I'm saying, right? But from their personal perspective, it just lands so much differently with folks. And so I feel like every time we are able to speak with someone to help Lauren continue to share Chloe's story, to help people understand this is still real, this is still happening, this is why you should care about it, I think that's a win. So even opportunities like this, being able to talk about how important it is that we understand, yeah, we're still around and we still have work to do and you should be invested too, I count those as wins.
It seems to me that education, whether it's through public service announcements, whether it's through activism in the community, in whatever form that takes, that that's key for this awareness and for changing behavior. The other side of that is recognizing you're not going to change human nature of some people. That problem is going to exist. And taking on what you know is not going to be a problem that will end, that can be daunting. On the other hand, it's also inspiration to keep moving forward. And I think, Lauren, you get some credit for that. You relive a tragedy every time you get engaged here. And I think there got to be successes you've seen. Maybe you haven't seen them play out completely yet, but they are the outreach that you're doing is impacting people and making a difference.
I totally agree. I think that is why I speak is more because I won't necessarily get to see the direct consequence of what I am doing in the moment. But I know that by speaking up and sharing Chloe's story, if I can change one person's perspective, make one person think, okay, I've had two drinks, I'm not okay to drive. And if they make that choice not to drive, then I consider to have saved a life in that circumstance.
Sure, absolutely. That would most certainly be a win. If folks are interested in reaching out, being a part, donating, whatever it may be, is there a website they should go to, Erin, that would give them that information?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website, mad.org/, Central Florida, mad.org/Central Florida, is a great place to start. You can also check us out on Facebook. That is also Mad Central Florida. In terms of local events that we have going on, things that you can come out to support with your family, whatever that may look like for you, that's also a great place to check would be our social media.
That's something else I want to discuss when we come back is technology, artificial intelligence, changing our world, making that communication and the compilation of information so much easier, so much as long as you're verifying what you get from AI. You can't trust at all. But we'll talk about technology and how that's changed this world as well as we continue this morning or this afternoon, whenever you're listening to the Florida Roundtable on the Florida News Network.
This boating season, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind you to wear your life jacket. You make a difference in the life of your family. As a parent, it's your job to keep your kids safe and be there for them. You do it at home, at school, and you need to do it on the water as well. Always wear your life jacket and have your children wear theirs too. It's a basic step that saves lives. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. Visit myfwc.com for more information. That's myfwc.com.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-648-9174. 800-648-9174. That's 800-648-9174.
When was the last time you had a truly awesome nursery experience? A nursery and garden center with a huge selection and friendly expert advice. We're talking about Quality Green Specialists in DeLand. At Quality Green, we have your favorite plants, fruit trees, flowers, vegetables, and herbs. Plus, with our 8011 fertilizer, organic azomite, and composted soil, your garden will look its very best. Great plants, sustainable products, friendly expert advice. 335 West Michigan Avenue, DeLand, and online at qualitygreenspecialist.com.
The skills needed to drive safely are the first ones affected when you use drugs or alcohol. When you get behind the wheel impaired, you put your life and others at risk. You can also face a DUI. DUIs are costly, and you will lose your license. And you may even face jail time. DUIs stay on your record for 75 years. Drive sober or game over. Visit flhsmv.gov/impaired for more information. Sponsored by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick with Aaron Sendrick and Lauren Robertson. Ladies, we were talking technology as we left the previous segment. Technology is changing our world. And has it made your job easier, faster, different somehow? Aaron, let's start with you.
Sure. I think the first thing I think of in terms of technology and shifting what we do here at MAD would be the HALT Act. I know I mentioned that briefly previously, but really it's something that is very important to the work that we're doing because it does offer a much quicker route to ending impaired driving, which is our whole goal. And the HALT Act was passed in November of 2021 and set to be fully implemented by 2030. The story behind this act is a whole family was killed by a drunk driver, and I believe it was one of the parents' sisters has since taken that, much like Lauren, and turned her story into advocacy. So that's the family behind the HALT Act. A lot of times people hear about this act and might get a little bit nervous. I think it's very human nature to want to be independent and, you know, have a say over everything that's kind of going on in your life. And I really encourage people, the HALT Act is about passive technology in cars to prevent impaired driving. And I really encourage people to think about it more like a backup camera, right? That's tech in our cars that so many of us really take advantage of now.
Very briefly, go ahead and tell us the technology that it puts in the vehicle. What are you talking about here?
Yeah, absolutely. So it would be a sensor that would be testing BAC, whether that's a air sample, or there might be a touch sensor on the push to start button. There also would be some cameras in the rearview mirror, for example, and that wouldn't be detecting anything besides indicators of impaired driving, like eye movement, like head movement, things like that.
That so could go not as far as to somebody that's sleepy and falling asleep at that point, right?
Right, right. And so the intention of that technology in the vehicle is not to take your car from 60 to zero on the highway and then create potentially other traffic issues, but really to, like Lauren was saying, prevent people from even being able to make this choice that is not the right one, right?
You say it's passive technology and it's by touching. Where is it, a button you touch? Is it on the steering wheel? How does this work?
Yeah, so the technology that they are discussing right now would be a sensor on the steering wheel, and that would be detecting the same way sort of that you blow into like a BAC monitor, except you wouldn't be having to sit there and actively have this sustained breath. It would very much be you get in your car, same as you regularly do, sit in the driver's seat, same as you regularly do. However, if you were above the legal limit, your car would not turn on. So it's not.
Does it
like
only
I
work
said,
for alcohol, or does it work for drugs or other substances as well?
Great question. So currently it is for alcohol, much like the roadside testing with alcohol. You know, that's been around for a while. All officers know how to conduct that. The testing that's available for other drug impairment on the side of the road is not as widely available. It takes a lot more training. You have to be specialized. So similar to this technology, we're focusing on the research that we have right now and the information that we have right now. So it is specific for alcohol, this tech.
All right. Very good. Lauren, go ahead and give me your thoughts on that particular technology and that law.
I think it's going to do wonders in saving many people's lives as a result of impaired driving. I think most of the time in the common misconception of why people get behind the wheel of a car is that they don't feel drunk. But the reality is that your judgment and reaction time is impaired from the very first drink that you have when you're out. And so by this technology being implemented, it's just going one step further to preventing this from happening to other families and other families having to experience the same pain that my family did, because no parent should be having to pick out funeral clothes before their child's college graduation.
Yeah, no doubt. Any idea what this adds to the cost of a vehicle when they put this technology in it?
That's a great question. I don't have specific numbers in front of me, but I know that the car industry partners that we're working with very closely, this is something that they see as largely beneficial as well. This is something that they see saving thousands, tens of thousands of lives, just like backup cameras, just like
I would imagine insurance companies are advocates as well then.
Yes, yes.
All right, very good. You say it's scheduled to fully implement by 2030. Is the technology going to be ready? It doesn't sound like it's all quite ready yet.
Yes, the technology will be ready, and it is already being put into cars to be tested to work out some of those kinks like you were kind of talking about. Where exactly are the sensors? How is it going to be the most effective? So that's why we've still got a couple more years on the clock here, but looking forward to the first couple that come out.
Who's working on the development? Is it the automakers, or is it some other groups that are doing that, or maybe both?
Yes, definitely the automakers, auto industry, in conjunction with all different kinds of folks, right? Like you said, insurance, law, all that good stuff.
Preventing DUIs, our focus on the roundtable. We're back in moments.
Up to 44% of veterans say reentry into civilian life was difficult. 20% say they experienced depression, and 6,000 vets complete suicide every year. You're not alone. At the Florida Veterans Support Line, over 300 veterans like you call every week for resources, referrals, and support. Connect with one of our veteran peers who has walked in your shoes and can help you take the next step. You're not alone. Call 1-844-MY-FL-VET or visit myflvet.com.
Excuse me, is this the checkout line?
Oh no, this is the line for Florida Sweet Corn.
Florida Sweet Corn is in season? Nobody told me.
You're not a member of the Fresh from Florida Club, are you?
The what?
The Fresh from Florida Club. Sign up at freshfromflorida.com and you'll get a heads up whenever locally grown produce is in season. The club has lots of free perks, but knowing when Florida Sweet Corn is available is one of my favorites.
Guess I'll be heading over to freshfromflorida.com after I get my Florida Sweet Corn.
Fresh from Florida. There's sunshine in every bite.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
Call 800-989-1647. 800-989-1647. That's 800-989-1647.
Did you know in Florida, one in three traffic crash fatalities are the result of an impaired driver? These fatalities are 100% preventable, yet thousands of people drive impaired every year. I'm on the way home from college for spring break. Don't let your decision to drive impaired be the reason I don't arrive alive. Drive sober or game over. Visit flhsmv.gov/impaired for more information. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Shortness of breath, patients confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrule.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Back to wrap up the roundtable for this weekend. Aaron Sendrick with Central Florida Mothers Against Drunk Driving, their program director there, Lauren Robertson, a family advocate, as we talk DUI prevention, with the I being not just intoxicated but impaired. And let me give you some time to give us your closing thoughts here. And Lauren, let's start with you. Tragic loss for you and your family, and you've turned that into positive activism. What do you want to leave this audience with today?
I think I want to leave this audience with the fact that, you know, no consequence is really going to justify what happened to my sister. We were the ones that were given the death sentence that day when he decided to get behind the wheel of the car and drive, because the reality is while he is serving his sentence, he will walk out of that jail at some point in the future. He will have a family, he will get to make new memories, and he will grow old, things that my sister won't be able to do. But I'm not just asking your listeners to remember Chloe. I'm asking them to make to fight like hell to make sure they don't that no one else becomes her. Because right now your listeners have a choice. They can either listen to this podcast and go back to their life as usual and just let this be another podcast that they listen to and think, oh, that's a really tragic situation. I feel sorry for Lauren and that she's in these circumstances. Or they can let her let this be the moment that everything changes. They can let Chloe's story become more than a tragedy and let it become the reason that they never ever let someone get behind the wheel of a car impaired. Because the truth is, unless that we step up, unless we refuse to all stay silent, and unless we make this our fight, then one day it could be your sister, your child, your best friend, your spouse. And when that day comes, you will pray to God that someone had done something to stop it. But by then it will be too late. And if we don't do anything and we just sit back and do nothing, I can promise you right now that you will be here next year with a different family advocate, grieving a different face, a different name, and a different life being stolen from something that is 100% preventable.
I appreciate you taking the time and sharing it with us, Lauren. Erin, just a couple of minutes left here. What do you want to leave this audience with today?
I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank you for having us here because, as I said, the more conversations we can have, the more often we can have them. That's really what's going to advance this forward is us as a collective, as a society, understanding that this is not on the shoulders of an individual, of the families who have lost someone, of the young people who are still learning to drive, but on all of us to really shift how we think about alcohol and other impairing substances when it comes to driving and to make a different choice that's better for all of us.
One more time for the website for folks seeking more information, madmadd.org/Central Florida. Spell it all out, and that will get you there. Resources available there as well on that website, correct?
Yes, you got it. You can find everything on that site, or you can visit mad.org, just our national website, to find out more about what we have to offer in terms of victim services, what we are working on in terms of the HALT Act, and anything else going on at a national level.
All right, very good. Ladies, again, thank you both for your time this weekend. I appreciate it. And good luck as you continue working on this DUI prevention. I saw some very horrible cases of DUI in my days on the job. Was happy to take driver's licenses away from some of those folks. But as we all know, they don't have to have that card with them to get behind the wheel of a car. So the more we can do to stop that, the better off we are.
Thank you for your work as a police officer, but also your work here today.
Well, thank you
for having us.
I appreciate that. Thanks for taking the time. It was good to have you along. Hopefully we never need to talk again, but on the other hand, we know it's a continuing battle. Ladies, thank you so much. That'll do it for this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you here next weekend on the Florida News Network.
Awesome.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick on News and Public Affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.